Hello, this is Mike Harbath with this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. Revenue Rocket is the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisor for IT services companies. And today, I am lucky enough to have my partners, Matt Lockhart and Ryan Barnett, with me, and we're going to talk about the cybersecurity boom. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Ryan Barnett here. Thanks for kicking this off. We've got a number of clients in the cybersecurity space on both what we call our advisory service as well as in the M&A space, either buying or selling firms. And it's one of the hottest spaces that we've seen. And there's a few reasons behind it. And today we want to spend some time with Mike and Matt diving in and understanding, you know, why is cyber the way it is today? We've seen such an increase in activity and want to dig in. So, Mike, I'd love to just pass it over to you and start us off.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, obviously there's a lot of bad actors out there that are driving, bad outcomes, right? We had the Colonial pipeline hack and ransomware event. We've had the ransomware with Kaseya. We've had, a ton of different both hacks and ransomware related activities in recent weeks and months. And I think, the reason why these are on the rise is because the bad actors see that they can be done and successfully pulled off. And that spawned, a boom for, cybersecurity vendors, both those that sell, resell cybersecurity products and those that implement and do work around the services side of the business. And with that has come some, record valuations and record sort of transactions on the M&A front. And so, certainly we see companies that have been very successful, successfully growing their businesses and signing new agreements and having, a heck of a time trying to keep ahead of the tsunami of need. We also see just a dramatic increase in buyer interest to aggregate these companies as we've roll into probably this last quarter of 21 and into early 22. At a high level, that's kind of what I'm seeing. Matt, what's your view?
Yeah, well, I think this has been rising for a while, right? With the proliferation of data on the internet, and the overall, rise of cloud technologies, the rise of IoT devices, again, that are all on the internet and exposed from there. And then just the overall consumer population using, B2C tools and et cetera, et cetera. So there's just a whole bunch more information, that is readily available. And so it's pretty natural. On the flip side, there's simply not enough talent, in the marketplace that has experience in the cybersecurity space. And it is continuing to evolve at just a, rapid pace. And so it's not something that's going to go away anytime soon. I also think that it, the need for it or the importance for it is represented by the fact that it is very near the top, if not at the top of, CEOs' business priorities. And that's CEO's business priorities. That's not the CIO's priorities. That's the CEO's priorities. And so, the protection of shareholder value and the value of a firm is directly tied to ensuring that, cybersecurity is addressed, within all firms of all sizes.
Yeah, for sure.
I kind of want to jump in a little bit. So if there's a need for security that has been expanding exponentially, And we work with providers of security and other related services. I think one of the things that we've seen is that security itself is a really bifurcated market, and where there's over 50 different categories of security services and products that we've seen in the marketplace today. And you're starting to see some product vendors and services vendors that the blend of what they actually provide is either very niche or on the opposite, they provide a little bit of everything. I'm kind of curious if when you're talking to these vendors out there today, we look at our clients, how should a firm start to look at categorizing themselves? Should they prioritize products or should they prioritize services? Is there a mix of which security vendors can best be fit in this marketplace?
Yeah, great question. I think certainly the focus on a holistic offering to the customer is important. And many, many cyber firms have started, really as what I'll call cyber product resellers, right? They have been, I think, very skilled at doing that. And they have, built great business. And as such, they've given the opportunity to really create a wonderful services business. And so, we see many of those guys who have traditionally been, more reseller focused in the security space, moving into what we might call an MSSP or a service provider, or even someone that may have created some process and software to deploy against the services or against the security mandates that have been thrust upon them from their clients. Now, we think the most value, the most enterprise value, certainly occurs in the companies that are predominantly services. And predominantly recurring revenue services. I mean, I think people who are, companies who have created that model, even if it's with eyeballs on screens and have a meaningful SOC, have certainly a big leg up beyond those that have, traditionally been what we'll call security type resellers. So, in many ways, this is the same maturity curve that the overall industry went through, as we move from early product resale into some services that were acquired either by the hour on a project basis for implementation, and then ultimately moved into managed services. So, the managed security services are super in need and demand right now. I would say all sizes of companies need them. They are very interested in, mitigating their risk. They have a huge need to mitigate their risk, and they have a very material, budget, I think, to apply. So, when you think about these sets of services, certainly services, and thinking about services and how they apply should, really dominate.
Yeah, I'll jump in and actually I think we can give one of our customers a bit of a plug here in Ion United up in Canada, who is following that path distinctly and is doing it really, really well. In addition, and so Ion, started as a cybersecurity sort of reseller and has been continually building upon their services expertise, and they're building a really best in class model and are making investments in those services. In addition to that, they have a distinct knowledge of their customers in the oil and gas space. Obviously, that's pretty big up there in Western Canada. And so knowing that customer and having expertise and distinct vertical knowledge is also one of those future things that we're going to see from vendors in the marketplace who are going to be winning. And I think that that's critical. I mean, you know, shoot, the guys down at Colonial Pipeline would have been great, you know, if they had Ion servicing them, because they probably would have been better protected than they were, you know, when they suffered that attack recently.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I would totally agree with you. And I think, you know, examples of firms like Ion, as a, you know, best in class provider, you know, certainly for our listeners, who are looking for, a model, as we often say, success leaves clues, should look to what those guys have built and, continue to operate and how they continue to operate. I think as we focus more on consolidation in the space, certainly there's been a lot of private equity money and other dollars that have flowed into the space. You know, heck, we see the, you know, what I'll call stratospheric valuation of companies like Arctic Wolf and others in the space that have occurred. You know, it's an indication of the level of interest and certainly the level of need in a fast-growing market right now.
It almost reminds you a little bit of 2000 and 2001, right, where there was a race in the commerce space, and, you know, everyone knew that the market was coming, and so there was a bit of an arms race, if you will, and I think that that's I think that there's some correlation here. And there's a race for talent, and there's a race for, you know, obtaining customers and marketplace. And so there's a, you know, a real good reason for a good acquisition and consolidation, you know, story in this space. And, you know, let's recognize it's early on. It's early in the first quarter of this ball game in relation to cybersecurity.
Yep, absolutely.
And Jens, I'd love to dig into this a little bit. So you mentioned that we've seen some high valuations. I'd love to understand a little bit more about different valuations in this marketplace. For example, if someone is a pure reseller of cybersecurity services or products and software, what's their valuation compared to a developer of one of the tools that they may resell? Let's say a product as a firewall vendor or a identity access management or some niche solution that has IP associated with that.
Well, I would say it's a fascinating question, because if, you know, the valuations for a predominantly, you know, reseller focused security vendor are probably no more than, and maybe a couple ticks more than a typical reseller of hardware and software, you know, and probably the 6x trailing 12 month EBITDA range. When you begin to sprinkle in services, you know, certainly we've seen some very interesting scenarios. Companies that are predominantly services have been, you know, commanding 10, 12 to 20 times EBITDA. We heard about a deal that came down in recent times that, you know, went at 20x in a competitive environment. Now, we think that's a fairly stratospheric valuation. We don't know the details behind the synergies with the buyer and, you know, all the things that we would normally, you know, like to see. So there could have been some special circumstances. But it's certainly not outside the realm of possibility to be in that 10-12x EBITDA range for an MSSP, one that's predominantly services and one that is, you know, predominantly recurring revenue.
I think one of the things to highlight here, though, is that it's still the valuation is still based on a multiple of earnings. So if you have a multiple of zero, it's going to be a low valuation. Is that fair to say? Or is that is this a market that has something extenuating and is different than we've seen in other services related markets?
Well, I think that, you know, certainly you have to be able to figure out when you're going to get a return, right? And it's important for buyers to understand that, or sellers, probably more importantly, is that there's very little points just for revenue. You have to look at when the lines are going to cross. And, you know, our experience has been that unless you have some very remarkable story that you need to put profit on the board and that multiples of profit are where deals get done. It's an exceptionally rare, rarefied air where people are buying unprofitable companies for multiples of revenue. It's just very, we find fewer and fewer buyers willing to take those risks. And you know, not to say that it doesn't happen, but I'd say it's exceptionally rare. And even in the security space, it's exceptionally rare. You have to have a pretty remarkable story in order to have somebody step up and essentially do that.
I agree. When we look at this space of MSPs or MSSPs, we have seen a number of MSPs trying to dip their toe in the water. Is there a trend here that you see of trying to become more things to the clients, and cyber is just something a traditional managed services provider has to add? Or is this something that people are just trying to capture on a market opportunity, or a bit of both? What do you think about the general trend of MSPs adding security to the portfolio?
Yeah, I'll jump in, Mike. I think that it's appropriate. You know, cyber is not something that is important, or security. Cybersecurity is something that's not just important to a global multinational. It's important to everybody who is serving customers. And so, you know, I think that, shoot, look at the layers of impact of the Kaseya breach. And, you know, for those who don't know, Kaseya is a software application that is used by managed services providers to, you know, manage their back-end infrastructure, manage customers' infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think that that just demonstrates that these MSPs not only need to have their own security game in order, but their customers are going to be looking to them to increase their overall, you know, security posture. And every organization is at risk, especially those organizations that maintain, you know, third party, you know, customer data. And so, yeah, I think that it's wholly appropriate that they build upon it. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for them. And I think that those that bundle in, now, are they going to be able to have top tier expertise? No. But as it relates to ongoing, you know, operational security of their infrastructure, of the cloud, et cetera, I think it's wholly applicable that MSPs build those skills into their repertoire.
I agree. I totally agree. You know, I'll open this either to Matt or Mike. Are there what trends are you seeing within cybersecurity vendors? What challenges are they running into today?
Well, you know, this is a tough market because the bad guys continue to get smarter every day about threats and the way they're deploying those threats against customers. And I think to be one step ahead of that, as a cybersecurity vendor, particularly one that's a services-focused vendor, is exceptionally challenging. It's a sort of a, as they say, it takes a village, right? It's a series of, you know, software and hardware and you know, services solutions that ultimately deployed in a world-class way, you know, protect those customers. And I think we're going to continue to find unique and creative ways that the bad guys are trying to, you know, attack their and ultimately breach the security of large, you know, systems and small systems. And whether those be public cloud scenarios or private cloud or, you know, even on-premise solutions, I think, you know, for the security services community, they really got to stay on their toes to stay ahead of that. And they have to work hard to, you know, stay ahead of the bad guys. And certainly we see that, you know, in all aspects of, you know, this business and for the services side of the business, certainly there's a huge demand and one in which the expectations are exceptionally high. You know, as you can imagine, if someone comes in and, you know, certifies your infrastructure as being, you know, safe or compliant or however they would choose to certify it. If there's a breach after that, you know, it's going to be pretty tough to credibly go back to your client and say, hey, we want to, you know, continue to be your vendor. So it's kind of a high risk, high reward business right now. And I think for the services firms in particular that get it right, you know, they'll continue to prosper and have opportunities and certainly will, you know, be consolidating or being consolidated into, I think, the biggest and best vendors. For those that don't get it right, you know, I think it's going to be challenging for them to compete.
Yeah, the only thing I'll add is that and sort of reinforce that there's a supply and demand issue, you know, with talent. And that's not, you know, wholly unique to cyber, but it certainly is occurring within cyber. And then, you know, from a sort of a future looking perspective is look at those firms that are building automation into their offering, because people aren't going to be able to address this alone on an ongoing basis. And, you know, automation is going to be, you know, part and parcel to those that are best in class with regards to their offering.
Yeah, that makes sense. The other thing I'd like your perspective on is there, this is a market in which partner products are a huge portion of delivery. And I'd love to understand if there's your take on that in how do you maintain and keep great partnerships with what seems like a never ending group of vendors that are providing products that can be put in a portfolio?
Well, you know, I think it's an investment. I think that's first and foremost is recognizing the need to invest in those relationships with partners and be close to them, investing in their certification process, being a good partner to them by advocating for customers and giving feedback from customers. And so, you know, that partner ecosystem, again, isn't going to be unique to cyber, but you're absolutely correct, Ryan. And for the foreseeable future, there is just going to be an ever-changing landscape of, you know, sort of the software, hardware, you know, vendor, organizations that are building and leapfrogging each other with best in class products. And so for those services organizations and or resellers, investment and expertise at that, you know, alliance partner ecosystem is going to be absolutely critical.
I would agree with that, Matt. I think, you know, it's fascinating to watch. And I think, you know, being able to continue to be forward leaning and leaning into the opportunity and partnering in the ecosystem and investing in the ecosystem will ultimately benefit the market exceptionally well. So so that's that. Ryan, did you have anything else before we wrap it up?
No, that's what I wanted to cover today. I'll turn it back to you for any closing thoughts.
Sounds good. So I appreciate everyone tuning in this week to the Revenue Rocket Shoot the Moon podcast. Fascinating topic and area of the market that we monitor closely and obviously actively work in, cybersecurity. We look forward to you tuning in to next week where we'll be highlighting some of the other areas of the market that are hot right now. So with that, we'll tie a ribbon on it and have a great week.